This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak and Beers.
Brother! This is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paladin.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host, Brad.
Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
This is Q here with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com.
Going on, everybody!
This is the final cast. I'm Brad.
I'm Matt.
That was awkward.
I know. It's what it is.
So, Allie was looking at one of our intro videos because she was figuring something out for this room. And she noticed that one where you like zoned out when we did the intro. You remember that? And you were just standing there just like staring at the camera.
Yeah.
She was like, what was he doing? I was like, I don't know. He's being weird.
I don't know either. Like, I honestly just think I fell asleep in my mind. I don't know.
And you're just like, yeah. Oh, sorry. I zoned out.
Yeah.
It was fun.
It happens. Everyone understands that. I did it today at work. I literally zoned out. I was sitting here in my chair. I was just looking just like this. And I don't know how long I was zoned out. And a customer just came up just. I was like, just did that. And he was like, you okay? I was like, yeah, man. I was just looking at that beam over there. He's like, and he looked over. He's like, what's wrong with it? I was like, nothing. I just focused on the beam and forgot where I was.
You should have said something like, I'm predicting that this building is going to collapse.
I pray for that every day. But
anyway. I'd have to get a new co-host.
No, yeah. I wouldn't die.
Oh, okay. That's good.
I'd get out. It's fine. Or I die. Who knows? I mean, it's all up in the air. But yeah, man. I just want to talk about Saturday real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Because we braved some 50 mile per hour gust winds.
That was crazy,
and
dude.
Got rewarded. And you found your new favorite jerk bait.
I did. We talked about it on the show a few weeks ago. The Re-Range 110 thing is nice.
Some Jackal.
So, I went and bought a Mega Bass the day after that just to have a jerk bait on Sunday. I threw it. That thing was not suspending. I don't know why. It was floating up like a Rapala.
Yeah, I remember you texted me about it, and I didn't like. They do make floating ones, and typically the only time you see them float is when the water's like super cold.
Yeah.
So.
And usually they sink when it's cold. At least other jerk baits do.
That's what I meant. I mean,
I gotcha. I don't know. Yeah, it was weird, whatever. But yeah, Saturday. Go ahead.
So we went out, stretch of river that we know holds great fish. We were casting from the bank, wasn't getting anything before we put the boats in. And then within, I don't know, 3 minutes, you got a fish.
Yeah.
Like immediately. It was quick. And then I threw right over where I was wanting to throw. And then we caught six fish in a matter of 20 minutes. Yeah. And they were all biggins. Like every fish was big.
Yeah,
and it was awesome. I came away with a 19¾ or 19½, a 19 and an 18½.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
My, I only caught two big ones. I caught a 19½ and a 18½, I think, or an 18. Well, I can't remember.
What was that first one? I thought the first one was a 17.
Oh yeah, the first one was smaller. It was like a 15 or something.
Yeah, still good fish though.
Yeah, but I mean, I had a limit for the whole day, like. We were out there for 5 hours. I caught 87 inches, so I can't complain. I'll say
that, plus you had a bonus fish of a saw guy, and you had a bonus fish of your tried and true catfish.
A catfish on a jerkbait. That's so weird, dude.
Brad will catch them on the stupidest stuff every time.
I caught that flathead on a Tokyo rig last year. I catch them on Joshies all the time.
I can see the Tokyo rig because you're bouncing it off the bottom. That makes sense. I can understand that. The Joshy, I mean, I guess, because how you fish it, because you bounce it off every rock you can find. So I can understand maybe. But the jerkbait?
So weird.
I've never caught a catfish on a jerkbait. I know people have. I just haven't. The only weird fish I've ever caught on a jerkbait was that hog sucker I caught a month ago.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, but it was a great day. And the wind started getting bad, and I called it when the back of my P127 came out of the water.
Oh, geez. I didn't know that.
That's why when I started coming back, I was like, yeah, dude, I'm done. My boat literally popped out of the water, and I was like, nope, no more for me.
That's crazy. Yeah, dude, it was crazy. By the time we got done fishing, like, we were both pissed off.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We got on the bank, and I was just like, sigh of relief, like, all right, I'm going home.
Yeah, I came home, and then I can tell you the rest of the night, like, Stacy, my wife, woke me up at like 2 a.m. thinking there was like a really bad thunderstorm, and it was just the wind back in my house. It was crazy.
Yeah, that was nuts, but oh well, we caught fish, so I was okay with it.
Yeah, win-win. I'm about it.
I floated Sunday though. And it was windy. It wasn't as windy, but it was still windy, like 20 mile an hour wind. I floated, and I was more pissed off that day than I was Saturday.
Well, you only got one fish Sunday, right?
Yeah, just one all day. It was bad.
Yeah, I mean, everyone had issues. Like, I was actually happy I didn't go out Sunday for the simple fact that everyone I knew, like, was posting, or I text them, they're like, yeah, dude, today just sucked. Couldn't catch a fish to save my life. And I was like, well, I didn't miss much, I guess.
Yeah, you didn't. Except for Will, my buddy Will that I fish with. He caught an 18, a 17, and a 15¾.
Lord.
Yeah.
He finds fish in the weirdest spots.
Yeah. Well, I was showing him, like, I'm familiar with the stretch. He's never been on it. So I was like, yeah, this spot's good. He caught the 18 within like the first 10 minutes of me pointing where the spot was. It's all good.
Well, there you go. Brad's going to open up his guide service in 2023. Get ready to put your name in so he can take you out on the river and show you where all the bigs are.
Yep. And then we can take pictures by all the landmarks and post them on all the Facebooks for everybody to see.
We got to spot burn as much as possible.
Yep.
Heck yeah. Oh, man. All right. Well, let's get in this week. I'm kind of happy or excited for this week. It's a technique that we've probably all thrown, but talking, you know, some of our favorite jigs. And we've brought back to this monumental episode, Nick Nicarelli, to talk about jigs. Nick, how you doing?
Getting jiggy with it.
I'm good. 87 inches in that wind on Saturdays for real, because it was crazy here. Yeah. I was busy, so I didn't get out. I did go out Sunday for a couple hours to not watch that Colts game, and it was slow, resulting – I don't know, I think I caught 3 or 4 fish, but I was Ned rigging, working in a new rod, and yeah, it was
– What rod did you get?
Ooh. Well, I caught a sail over there at American Legacy Fishing.
Dude, they got some good sails. I like that website.
Myself up a G. Loomis. It is their green series. So this is actually an inshore rod. But it is a 7.4 medium fast. Feels real nice. So I was threw a net on it for the first time on Sunday. I've been throwing a tube on it, and I'll throw some, like, get into it, huh? Like these little Ned dude jigs, little Ned jigs.
Good. I love those, man.
And these little hair jigs. These are from Nate's Custom Tackle or something like that. But they're like 8 pounds little Ned heads with marabou, little fur on there, a little hair. And
so it's a skirt with hair.
The skirt with hair.
That's cool.
And I've thrown it with a trailer, like a Ned, something like that, like a longer Ned style worm, 4-inch worm. You can do that, whatever, little micro bait, little TRD crawl Z or whatever they're called. But these are good little baits. And then the little Ned jigs.
I got a question about those real quick. Do you consider that a Ned rig or an actual finesse jig?
The little Ned one?
Yeah.
I
mean, it's both. I don't know.
I hear people argue about it, so I was just curious.
They have nothing to do with their lives. Stop that.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, I never got
to do.
That ain't a jig. That's a Ned rig with a screw on it.
Okay, well, yeah, but a Ned rig, a Ned head is a jig head. It was originated as a mushroom head jig. So it's the same damn thing. It just doesn't have a skirt. Stop wasting your time.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I never understood that argument because it's a jig. A Ned head is a jig. Just like you said, it's a jig.
Yeah.
And now it's just got, oh, that's a Ned. It's a whole different tech. No, it's not. It's a jig. You know how I get like some of my toughest bites? Like if I'm out there and I'm throwing a jig and nothing's biting, I work a jig just like I do a Ned rig.
Yeah,
because a Ned rig is a jig. It's just it's the same thing. It's just tiny. It's a tiny finesse jig.
The same thing.
So stupid to argue about something like that. Like I mean, there's some arguments in fishing I can tolerate. That is the dumbest thing. Like, oh, it's not a jig. It's not a finesse jig. It's a Ned rig with a skirt. But no, dumpty. It's a jig.
Technically, a lot of things are jigs. You know what else is a jig? Chatterbait. You know what else is a jig? A spinnerbait. What do you think's on the front of that?
Yeah.
You know, this is, you know, I mean, a swim bait head. That's a jig head. Whatever.
Care. They're all jigs. At the end of the day,
jigs are great.
All jigs.
It's all matters.
See, you opened a can of worms, Brad. And you shut
where go, Brad?
Dude, that's what I'm wanting to do, man. Like, I love stuff like this.
Yeah, but I don't think it matters. I treat them as jigs. Also, you can treat about everything as a jig. But you know, I do like those little. If things are real tough, like I said, even though the water's real low, pretty clear here. Not pretty. It's very clear here. If I don't have to go down that route, I don't.
Yeah.
Which is kind of leads to the discussion of jigs and river jigs in particular, I believe, because that's what we all do here.
Before we jump into the river jigs, I got two things. One, that inshore rod is sweet. It's awesome because inshore rods have so much more backbone.
Yes.
They're just legit. And two, thank you for mentioning when we did our swim bait series, the River to Sea stuff, because I got a bastard. And oh my God.
Oh, River City swim baits. River City
swim. River City swim, not River to Sea. I don't know why I said that. This is the Whopper Plopper is that with a spinner bait on it. But yeah, River City swim baits, that thing is amazing. I haven't got a fish in with it, but I've watched like 9 fish.
You will.
Beat the crap out of it, and I love it.
It'll happen. Those things have a real good swim, and the nice thing too about it is that you can you can kind of bump them along pretty quick if you need to. And if you learn the cadence, depending on what your reel handle length is or rod and all that stuff, you can kind of get them to pop and fall out, and then and they dance a little bit. They're sexy little baits. They work.
Yeah, those things. So thank you for bringing it up, because the second he posted on Instagram, I think it was like a month ago, he's like, yeah, we've got X amount left in stock. And I was like, done. Like, I literally bought it the second I saw it, because whenever I try to get them, they were always out of stock.
Yeah,
I got a floating one, but that's okay. I've already put some lead wire on it. And it's,
it'll work. Fine. It'll work just
Yeah.
And those little storm strips work too, if you're trying to play with it. I mean, that's a real easy way to learn how to do that.
Yeah, I've got like 18 packs of those storm strips, but I don't know where they're at, along with 99% of the rest of my crap. I don't know.
I was going to say that. You don't know where any of it is.
I've got two. Like, this stuff, I know where it's at. It never moves. Like, it just stays there, and I refill them as I use them. But the stuff on my table, like, I'll get it out to talk about, like what we're doing tonight. I got my jig, like my river jig box out to talk about the jigs. If I don't remember to put them all back in the box, they will live on this table for the next 6 months.
Oh, I've got my... These are all reserve jigs that I'll be showing. And my jig box is out and ready for everything to be put up. My rod sleeves are over here ready to be put back on rods. I've been playing with that new Loomis rod. Only caught a couple fish on it. Feels really good. I think it'll do fine on that little jig. Those little smaller jigs, 1/8 ounce to probably 3/16 to 1/4. It's rated up to 3/8 is what I'll do with that. So occasionally I'll throw like a Bitsy Bug jig. They work, they fall apart. But it's like a $3 jig, $4 jig.
Yeah, $2.99. You don't like them?
No, lower? They're not. I'm saying they're lower.
I haven't bought one in a long time.
$2.49.
Most of these are all
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more.
Bitsy Bugs, and I got them for 97 cents at Walmart.
Nice. Wow. No, I bought
it. I like the Bitsy Bug, man.
I bought a ton of time ago. That you're not going to catch 20 fish on it. It's not. No. It's a dollar jig.
Yeah, it is. It is a dollar jig. I'll give you that. And that's what
they work.
Yeah. Well,
and guess what? If you blow one and you snap it off, who cares?
Exactly.
That's a nice thing about those jigs. These tungsten jigs that we're going to talk about can, you know, they work very well and they hold up. But, you know, it's a tungsten jig. It's not cheap.
Yeah. Very much. You
gotta catch sales.
Yeah. You do have to catch sales. I'll give you that.
No, that Bitsy Bug jig's nice. It's just like the gauge of the hook, man. You need a pretty stout rod to set the hook with that thing, I think.
For that particular jig, like I said, I'm playing with things, but this Loomis rod seems to have a little bit more backbone. It is a 7'4", which I like longer rods, especially for single hook baits. I just think, especially out of a kayak, it helps you way more than it hurts you unless you're just using way too heavy of a rod. But out of the river, for a lot of stuff we're going to talk about, I tend to not be throwing like a heavy. Like I said, that Loomis rod is a 7'4" medium fast. Seems like kind of a stout medium, but nothing over the top.
Yeah.
I also got a new setup. I've had it for a little while, but I picked up a Zodius. It's a what's the model number here? It's a 72 ml. So it's actually a medium light, extra fast. Now this is kind of a niche rod, but it's rated to 1/2 ounce. Now, I doubt I will do that, but I've been playing with like 8-ounce jig heads. I currently have a Okashira head tied on, but I'm also going to probably sometime soon throw like a 3/8 ounce, which will go right in the next one. The Kitek.
Oh, dude.
Finesse Football version 2. This is a little tungsten jig. I caught my PB smallmouth twice on that model jig, two different jigs, in the last couple weeks. Money. And like I said, I'm going to try that one on this 7.2 medium light. Brad, recommendation with the Scorpion.
How do you like it?
I like it. I've had to mess with the brakes a little bit. I think I'm still kind of dialing that in and just kind of getting the reel broken in itself.
Yeah.
But no, it's pretty tight. I like it. Yeah, but I did not catch my big fish on that setup. So I don't know if you guys want to jump in on some river jigs, where we're going to go.
I wanted to talk a little bit more about that Kitek jig.
Let's talk about it.
Let's do this. Let's start so we're just not hopping all over the place. I think we should start smallest to biggest, like in certain situations while you're using certain jigs in the river. So, because obviously we kind of already hit on the finesse jigs.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be a bad thing to kind of talk about that Ned rig a little bit more and then some of the jigs we like to use in the finesse situation.
Sure.
And then move into, because believe me, I'm a big fan of this. Kitek tungstens as well. They're fantastic. I love them to death. So we can get into that a little bit. Does that work for everybody?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, yeah. You tell me where you want to go.
Dope. All right. Let's start with finesse jig. So we kind of already hit on that. The Z-Man micro.
Yeah.
The Ned jig.
Yep.
We can talk about that a little bit. Because they're affordable. You can get them just about everywhere.
They're about the same price as a Bitsy Bug. Like, because you get two in a pack.
Yep.
Yeah.
So basically same thing. I think they get snagged easier than a Bitsy Bug.
Probably. Well,
yeah, I would agree. That's why I'm happy you have one, because I didn't bring one. I thought I meant to bring one in, but I forgot. So it's in a different box.
Little two-strand weed guard. Basically, if I'm throwing this guy, it's because I'm not quite ready to throw an actual Ned rig. yeah, and I like to throw just around cover, especially I think a lot of what we're gonna be talking about is gonna apply for late summer through fall into winter, early winter for sure. Actually, probably all winter too.
Yeah. But
if things are tough, and I know I've caught these little fish kind of cruising up shallow in those times, just popping her on along, and I like to either have that Z-Man micro, like with a 2.5-inch craw. I forget what the name of it is. I'm sorry, Glenn. great episodes.
The bugs, TRD bugs.
Those are great. And then just the ones with little pinchers that float.
The TRD crawl.
The TRD crawl, whatever it's called. Those are great on there. And then sometimes, too, I will – I like to use the Strike King, the Rage Jump, which is just a little chunk body with the smaller crawls. That would be more in late summer, early fall probably. But right now it'll be those little TRD crawls. I like the bugs too. Those work. And then even just a TRD.
Yeah.
That works.
I mean, it's a TRD still, but you're not throwing an open, too open of a head. And then you get the skirts. It's a jig.
Yeah,
it's cool. Get a better bite.
Yeah,
it's cool with the when you put the TRD on that finesse jig. It's cool because the hair goes like that, and then the TRD is right in the middle, just doing this. I think it looks cool.
Yeah, it's super enticing how I look at it. I'm a huge fan of those little finesse jigs. Now I'm kind of like you, Nick, where I throw it only if I have to. Like if I really have to go super micro, that's what I'm throwing it, or really small because they're being super picky. But I just like it because it's unlike an open head on Ned rig, it gives it a little bit more body. So I feel like, especially when they're maybe finicky, but they're eating still, they're just not wanting to eat anything big. And I don't want to throw a Ned rig because I just get bored with it. I can kind of trick my mind into throwing the Ned jig because it's still a jig in my head because it has a skirt and it's a proper jig. It's just tiny, but it gives it a little bit more body and kind of entices them to want to eat a little bit more. So yeah, I'm a huge fan of, I got three or four of them. I agree with Brad. They do get stuck a lot. As much as a net regular net rig with no weed guard. Cause like you said, it's a super small two strand. So that's not stopping a whole lot, especially if you think you have a bite. Cause obviously it happens with rods. Now they're so sensitive. You might think you have a bite or something. You set the hook. It's not stopping much. So
no. And you can even too, if one of these little things, I mean, you can fish this like a swim jig if you want. I throw like one of those little micro swim baits on the back or street tail swim bait styles, and you can do the same thing. It's just a little smaller package than, you know, your standard swim jig. That's what's nice about all of these. I mean, this one in particular, a couple other ones we talk about, is that they are pretty versatile if you want them to be. Again, you can drag this thing along with you if you want to hop it along. Probably not going to throw this little guy into anything too heavy. Hopefully wherever I am casting it, there's kind of a visual sight line out of it for me. And I think that's kind of where that jig will prevail. Probably not one I'm going to throw into a lay down too much unless I know I can pull it through, or swim it out rather. But very effective little guy. Like I said, it's not my go-to, but, definitely something I'll do.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you brought up, you know, it's jigs are super versatile, and I agree. I mean, you look at old Gerald Swindle himself said they asked him if you could only use one bait, and they asked a lot of guys in tour one day, and he said they all said a jig because I can throw it as a jig and bounce it. I could flip it into cover. I can swim it. I can do everything with just a single jig, which is what's awesome. I can just segue right over into it's a Bitsy bug, and we already kind of talked about it, but it's a Bitsy swim jig bug. Bitsy bug swim jig.
The what do you got version on the back of it?
Yeah. So I throw a three inch spark shad right on the back of it. So one of the small spark shads. And the joy of it, I can throw this as a swim jig, or I like to throw this a lot when I know they're feeding up on bait fish and stuff. I'll throw it out there and I'll just tick it off the bottom like a bait fish skipping the bottom trying to get little stuff. Because a lot of times that's where they'll ambush the fish. So they'll come up at an angle behind it because the fish can't see directly behind and up to it, and they'll smack them. So you just throw this out there. You can swim if you want, or throw it and just let it kind of tick right across the bottom. And you'll get you'll find when you bring your fish in and you hook them and whatnot, you'll find a lot of your bites are in the upper jaw right here.
Yeah.
Literally right there every time because they came from behind and engulfed on the ground. You usually feel the hit because they're smashing right into the ground for it. So it's pretty cool. And it's an easy way to throw it. And it, again, just like, you know, Nick, what you said earlier, it's a Bitsy bug. It's at most times you can find them at Walmart places for $1, $1.50. If you lose it, who cares? It's not the end of the world. I mean, this spark shad on the back costs the same as the jig itself. So,
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. That's 3/4 of a TRD worm or whatever.
Yeah.
Also too, river swim jigging is a sneaky technique that not a lot of people do.
Dude, remember we talked about that after Z-Man released their micro swim jig? I'm like, man, I need to try that. That sounds fun.
Yep.
Yeah, you can do a lot with a swim jig on the river, especially if they're hiding middle of the day, whatever, and they're running out of stuff, lay downs, whatever structure.
It's a good complement to using like a spinner bait too. Like if the water is too clear or something in the summertime, you're not going to throw a spinner bait.
Yeah.
Throw the swim jig.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I want a chatterbait bite or a chatterbait bite so bad.
I know, dude.
I've not caught a fish on a moving bait since, I don't know, beginning of August.
Like, that's crazy.
It's been so low and clear here that, like, there's not even, for me anyways, I've not found it. I know some people have. Like, I've not found a topwater bite in middle of September. I've got one posted on my Instagram. I caught a 19 on a Rico. You got a cast to catch of it. It's great fish, but I think that's the last one I caught on topwater. Like I've been finesse jig dragon. That's been my thing since second week of August. Now it's produced. I have results. It's not my, I love fishing a jig, but it's been sort of this has been my late summer fall class in dragging finesse football jigs around. Just because I've been looking for a bite, in particular, a big bite, so that I can hope, you know, I ended up finishing my Smalley Games board. But that was sort of the goal.
Yeah, dude, you caught on fire that last month and a half.
Yeah, dude, I just went to work.
That was awesome.
Yeah, just
I still, if I was playing the game, I don't think I would have it completed yet.
You'd be, I think, you'd be closer than you think.
I'd be close, but I'm not there yet. It's been a bad year for me.
I just had a super slow spring. Like, I don't think I finished that first section until like July or end of July. And then as summer went on and into fall, I kind of got it. But I will do almost anything technique wise to not have to go that super finesse and throw, the net and that stuff. Although I do like a tube. So whatever. So I've just been doing a lot of it. And what jig do you want to go into next?
I want to stop because we're talking about finesse jigs. Brad doesn't think it's a finesse jig. I think it's a finesse jig. It's the Jig Master's finesse jig.
Oh, dude. I don't know, dude. It's just not as small as all the other finesse jigs, man.
You're right.
It's just less bulky. That's it.
Here's the Bitsy Bug with the trailer on it. And here's the Jig Master's finesse jig. It's the same size as this with the trailer. That's without a trailer on it. I mean, but I think it's a finesse jig. And I can tell you, this has been my go-to pretty much all year. Brad can attest to this. On days people were having issues catching fish, I was pulling fish out left and right on this thing. Yeah. Tiny fish and big fish didn't matter. But what I love about it is it has an EWG hook.
Yes.
And
tell them the part you don't like about it.
The part I like about it and don't like about it are the same part. It's the twist lock. And it's awesome because you can put, like, I've been throwing a ton of the Guggen rattling chunks on it to give it a little bit of sound and been smashing it. It's the best product Guggen makes. It's the only one I actually use and enjoy.
I've heard that's good.
But what I, huh?
So I've heard that's a good one.
It is. And I like it. I mean, I have 6 or 7 packs now just because I continually buy them. Yeah. I will say they're like an original Senko. They are a 1 to 2 fish bait and they rip apart. But. It's awesome. The wire guard is awesome because the twist guard or twist lock is great, but it also sucks because I want to throw like the Nico crawl on there because it looks amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's Elastech and I can't get it on there and I never bring my lighter.
Yeah, you got to heat thing up. Keep a lighter in your PFD.
Yeah, dude. And I have one in there now. I put one in the other day.
Why don't you just use your crack lighter, dude?
Well, I mean, if we fish Dayton, surprisingly, I probably could just go look for one. But I tell you what, this has been fantastic. I switched to this jig probably mid-June. I was using a just a regular Jig Masters football head and then a casting jig earlier in the year. And I switched to this, and I got hit over and over. This is actually one that I have a bait on. You can literally put it up on there. Texas rig it, and now you're completely weedless without having to worry about a weed guard or anything. So, I mean, I've run this through like the nastiest cover you can find and had zero issue getting it out, which is great for the river. Because as anybody who knows, if you want to start throwing jigs in the river, get ready to start losing them because they'll get hung up and everything. They'll get stuck behind a rock down in a crevice.
Yep.
The hook will get exposed and that your weed guard, no matter how stout it is, will literally push right past and it'll get stuck. And then you're up a creek and you're ticked because you lost your eighth jig on the trip.
Yeah.
This has been fantastic for that because I can throw this. It's heavy enough. This is a 1/4 ounce. It's heavy enough to where I can get it. I can bomb it if I want to or throw it in some cover and it zips to the bottom quick. But yeah, I love this thing. This has become like a super go-to to me. I'll throw it anywhere, but it's been great on the river. So,
right on. I would also just piggyback on that. You can take almost any jig and start trimming away and cutting on that thing and turn it into a much more finessier jig.
True.
You can make a 1/2 ounce jig look like that cool little 1/4 ounce jig, which I need to buy some of those. I should probably put an order in soon because I want to get some of his net heads too.
Just got them. They're sick.
Yeah,
they are sweet. They work good. I like them.
And I think they work especially well with the super plastic, like the Nikos and the TRD type stuff or Z-Man.
Yeah, I had the Nico Leech on my EWG this past weekend. It worked awesome. I didn't lose a single one. Right.
Well, that's all I need to hear.
that Leech is awesome, by the way. You need to try that thing.
Dude, you need to – yeah. That's the best Ned Rig small bait I've ever used ever.
It's like a 4 or 5 inch worm too. It's not real small either.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's great. Like I firmly believe in the if you can upsize where you can philosophy. Whereas instead of like I've not thrown that leech, but and it's not the exact same shape, but like I'll throw even you know on like a sometimes like even some of these jigs that we're going to talk about like the 4.3 or 4.8 inch like 6 cents Ned Fry, which you can cut down real easily. That thing looks just like a giant TRD or even the big TRD you can put on the back of a jig if your keeper system works with the plastic. Yeah, there's all sorts of options in those regards.
I think Ryan Dahl throws the big TRD.
Yeah. He does. Yeah.
But do you want to stay with Jig Masters for a second?
Yeah, I mean that's fine. We can stay with them. That works.
Just because their finesse or their football jig is great. It's a great jig. I've thrown both the light wire and the heavier wire, the HD. I think it just depends on equipment, which one you want to throw. I'd probably throw the HD on, you know, obviously a heavy. Mm-hmm. And then I would kind of figured out a really good river. Football jig setup that I originally picked the rod up for when I went to Michigan for a deep clear reservoir or lake that I didn't actually get to. Fall out in there though, so next summer I'll be back there. Yeah, I like the light wire too, especially on the river. I think it helps when they grab it and they swim at you, gives you a chance to not have to flip yourself out of the kayak when you set the hook. So yeah, those are great. And then also too, I throw the 3/8 and the 1/2 ounce flipping jig. That's also a great river bait. It's for throwing in the river. These things pop loose really well.
Yeah.
Like you probably can't see it on this, but the top of the jig is like ground and rounded.
I see it. Yeah.
No color. There you go.
Dimples. You got dimples on that head.
Yeah, he's run his through.
Caught some.
Sorry, Nick.
Really good jigs. Did I freeze up?
Yeah, just for a second.
Yeah, so Jig Master, great product from Cody up there in Northern Ohio.
Yeah, I'm glad we found those, man, because that football jig's amazing.
I agree. I don't think he's made I haven't tried a bad thing he's made. Like anything I've gotten has not been bad. Like the sled heads are like all I use now for big Joshies.
Those are good.
His EWG heads, me and Brad just got those. Those things are sick.
His spinner baits are awesome, man.
His spinner baits are amazing. Yeah. I actually just got my first one in a Dark Horse box last month, and I love that thing. It's freaking awesome.
I will say though,
go ahead.
His spinner baits, you got to slow roll them. Because if you start like speed rolling them, they like tend to go on its side. I think it's because the shape of the head, but I don't know. I love that. I still love that spinner bait. Slow rolling that thing.
I need to get some spinner baits for those spring high waters. Keep her on the bottom.
Yeah. But
shout out to Jig Masters, great jigs. I use them quite a bit on the river. I kind of have my jig stuff like narrowed down these days into like three companies basically, like Jig Masters, Beast Coast, and Kitech.
Is that Kitech kind of like that's what I was gonna ask earlier. Is it like the missile baits one that Justin uses?
It's a football head, so no, I know which one you're talking about. But this one you can get these up to. I have like 3/8 and 1/2 ounce. But hopefully you can see this. It is a pretty light hook
Yeah.
It's not a big beefy one. So this is really works well for those smaller trailers. This has been my little killer. I caught a 20 and a half, which at the time was my PB. And then like 2 weeks later, I caught a 21. On these little dudes, just like slow rolling it essentially, mm-hmm. like a spinnerbait, like, but just keeping bottom contact, just tick, 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 tick. And trailer wise, that rage chunk, Smalley Beaver cut down is really good on that. I also like the Sixth Sense Stroker Crawls, both the 2.4 or whatever it is, and the 3.6, whatever those are, whatever the sizes are. The small one in the bar, the larger one. Cut them down.
He said Beaver and Stroker.
That's right, baby. That's what we're known for. Yeah, these things are great. And here's a little tip from a text chain I was in. If you are on the Kitech website, use Crow, C-R-W-E, at checkout to save some money. And that's a smallmouth guy, Jeremy Crow, up in Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's like a 20% code. So it's
– oh, wow.
There you go. I just made an order not to go. These jigs are sick. I am a huge fan. Now, if you're looking for something that is fairly similar, these also do. I just want to, they have a weed guard. It's not real stout. I feel like with these finesse football jigs, you're not really like banging on them like when you're flipping a jig in heavy cover, like real close quarters combat type mm-hmm. fishing.
Yeah.
This is kind of a reel in sweep set, kind of hook set that you're looking for. So I think in those regards, you're better off with like, a medium heavy rod. I like longer rods, as I've stated earlier, maybe even like a fast, if it's a little bit of a slower fast, that's fine too. And then what I've been using, excuse me, has been the, St. Croix Victory. They named this series of rods for some reason. This one's called the Max Marshall. But it is a 7'5" medium heavy fast. If you're fishing deeper water, it's great. And I just think that longer rod, extra leverage, and a little softer tip is beneficial. So this has been like my football jig rod for the river. And I've been super, super happy with it. I throw 15-pound fluorocarbon on there. And yep. All I would say is if you're dragging a football jig a lot, check your line.
Yeah.
And retie. That'd be the biggest thing.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV. Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Yeah, I can definitely attest to that. I was out a week and a half ago with a buddy, and he was throwing a swim jig. What we were throwing through, he had 12-pound on, and we were throwing through a lot of grass. And the next cast, all you hear is snip, and it went flying. It was a Waze, a Megabass Waze, which is like a $7 underspin swim jig. And he was like, "I don't know what happened." I was like, "Check your line where it broke." Going up, he's like, "Oh, it's nicked up real bad." I was like, "Yeah, buddy, you got to check your line because you're running into a bunch of crap." And it's the same thing with jigs, especially if you're doing a lot of bottom contact. Check your line. I don't care if you have Seaguar, Tatsu, Sunline, Sniper. I don't care what it is, unless you have braid, and even then, you don't want to check it.
That's the good thing I like about Jig Masters, though. Like the way the head shape's designed, you got that flat part, and then like the part where you tie is like up off the bottom.
And that's actually a great point, Brad. If you can see on my hat the where the line tie is right here. I mean, yeah. It's so you should be a lot of the times this should help protect your knot a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a 60 degree. It's actually like a 90. But yeah, still, it doesn't matter. You got to check your line, especially if you're running 12. Like the 15 holds up a little bit better. I have Invis-X on that rod, 15-pound Invis-X. On that Zodius, that medium light, I have 12-pound Invis-X, but I've not thrown the jig on it yet. I'm going to. I think I will probably wait till it's a little colder to mess with the 12 just because I love that Invis-X. I throw a ton of their 20-pound for swim baits, and I have a lot of it. But it's still 12-pound, and that makes me scared. I don't like
it. I mean, I tell you what, my jig rod that I've used pretty much all year with those quarter-ounce jig masters, and I've laid into fish, has been 12-pound Sunline. That's all I've used. And at first, because I've always been a 15-pound for jigs, I'm using 15-pound. Sometimes with heavier jigs and deeper water, I'm using 17-pound. But I've laid in with that 12-pound, and been choice.
Sidebar, don't get LYN.
LYN is big poopy.
No, my thing for the 12 or 15 has nothing to do with big hook sets. I trust just the abrasion resistance. That's it. It's just line deck there. I mean, it has nothing to do with the line. I think it's a great line. I love it. I wouldn't say it if I didn't use it. The Kytec has been the Kytec V2 tungsten finesse football. If you're looking, and I think they offer a quarter ounce, so you could do fine with this on a medium fast spinning rod and get away. Oh, yeah. I mean, even if you're rated to a half ounce, it's 3/8. You're still fine. You know, depending on what you're fishing, and if you're fishing where it's just kind of chunk rock, stuff like that, you're gonna be fine. They're wonderful dudes.
I need to get me some. I've always eyeballed them, but never did pull the trigger.
They're solid, but I also have one that is the Beast Coast OW Sniper, which stands for the Open Water Sniper. This is a no weed guard finesse football.
That's interesting.
Now, this does have a heavier hook on it. I've caught fish with these. I use that same 7.5 medium heavy setup. It does just fine. I love the Beast Coast jigs. I fish... Well, I think like four different ones for the river. This Sniper, and then on tied on right now on that 7.5 is there. I don't remember the name of it, but this is that same little bit larger football jig than the OW Sniper. Heavier hook, has a weed guard, has done real well so far. Caught a couple fish on it. And yeah, so that's like just a different one. If you're into the Beast Coast products, I think they're awesome. I throw their Flippin' Delight. Their creature plastic has flapping appendages. Mm-hmm. Cut that thing down; it'll fit on most of their jigs. The Blade Runner for the chatterbait. Woo, that's a good one. You can snip that little tail back a little bit more. You get a little double flange action.
Oh yeah, I love that.
Beast Coast, man. I mean, you can do a lot with Beast Coast and Jigmaster jigs. Let's put it that way.
Let's stop real quick. Go into Beast Coast because I'm not familiar with them at all.
I wasn't either until you said something about it a few weeks ago.
I would say, I mean, I don't know it like the most, but old Alan or old Andrew Hayes did a little bit of an interview with them a while back on Tackle Talk. It's an East Coast. I think they're out of Massachusetts. It might be Connecticut. It might be Vermont. I don't. It's one of them.
It's one of the 50 states.
Guys. Yeah. Beast Coast, they offer quite a few really, really good tungsten jig. I've had a lot of success with their stuff the last couple of years, especially this year. It's been more of a jig year for me. So this OW Sniper, again, it is a finesse football jig. I think this is a 3/8. Actually, it is. It's marked on the side. Isn't that nice? right, you know, it's a tungsten jig, so super sensitive. A little bit heavier hook than the Kytec. But, you know, again, do you want to throw this into a deep bush or, you know, wood and lay down? No, you don't. There's a moon guard. It's not meant for that. It's meant for dragging and pulling it along the bottom. So, rocky points, dams, if you don't think there's a lot of wood in the water, deep structure, that's where I think this is really does damage.
Huh. I'll have to remember that.
Yeah, but I'll say talk about, because I know Kytec, when you say tungsten, period, it's expensive, just how it is, it's tungsten.
Yeah.
The Kytec jigs, the biggest reason why I've picked one up, it's also on the table somewhere. I don't know where it's at. I remember last time I messed with it, it was on the table. I don't know where I did with it, though, and it's under a bunch of crap, and I'm too lazy to move it. But the Kytec jigs, even in Field and Stream or anything, can be anywhere. I've seen them for $350 all the way up to $6 for the jig. How does Beast Coast compare in price to the Kytec tungstens?
I think they're pretty similar. The nice thing is, though, if you get on that Beast Coast site, I think it's beastcoast.com, and you sign up for their newsletter, you get deals like quite a bit. Like you'll get 20% off code. I think they're running one now or it just ended. The OW Sniper, Beast Coast, great jig. Super comparable to the Kytec. Now let's talk about a couple other Beast Coast jigs where I have we talked briefly about the beefed up version of the OW Sniper. This one has the weed guard. It's like the max feel football jig. It'll be on their website. It's new. They just released like a month ago. Also good, a little heavier. But if you are what I think it's one of their best jigs. It's called the Little Magnum.
It's now, like a what is that? Like an Archie head type?
Yeah, but it's so weight forward. Like this is a 1/2 ounce that it drops. A great flipping jig. These things are nasty. If you have the right cover, lay downs, anything you kind of want to be able to throw against, like vertically, and let one drop in. Whether it's a bridge piling, behind a big boulder in the river, even deep, these things are nasty. Chunky little hook on there. I think it's a...
Oh, yeah. It's a big one.
I like those type of bait keepers on it, too.
I was about to get to that.
Yeah, those are fantastic.
I threaded this with the big Z-Man crawl. Again, with like the pinchers and then the other the kind of speed crawl version, too. These once you know how to thread those on a jig, I think that's the biggest battle is learning how to put the Z-Man stuff on any sort of head.
Pro crawls.
Yes.
Yeah, the bigger ones.
Yeah, like that 3.5-inch version or whatever he has.
Yeah.
These things are really good. I got onto a pretty good late summer bite with these. Again, bridge pilings, lay downs. Any place where there was an ambush point that you could toss up next to and drop one down, those things are killer. Kind of in the same vein, and the last one I have actually is this. It's the Beast Coast Vanquish jig. Now, this is also a tungsten jig, but like the – it has a more stand-up jig head style.
Right.
Now, not quite as vertical as the Jigmasters, but – with a little tension, as you can see, it's going to stand up with you. This is also because of the head design. It has that flat head.
Yep.
This thing is a nasty little skip jig. So lay down, like there's certain sections, which I'm not going to say on here because, Fred, you know where they're at and we've talked about them.
Yeah. I know Matt, where he caught it 21.
Yeah, exactly. Man, we'll show you that too. Where the water's right, there's this particular section where there's a lot of overhang. And like literally last October, I think it was like a year ago, I was out there cold, flipped one, skip it up. We actually had some rain. It was wonderful. Slipped it up there under this overhang. Dingo. 18 inches. I'm like, sweet. That's a sweet November fish. I look over. Rogue pit bull running the bank. I was like, Naptown, baby. 317. This is perfect. This is what it's about. I actually saw a rogue pit, too, after that 21. I was like, what's that noise behind me? I thought it was a squirrel or something or a pit line. No, it was just a giant gray pit just staring at me. Like, what the hell, man? What are you doing? You're ruining my good time. Get out of here. So for those heavier flipping style jigs, since I have one more rod, since we're talking a little bit of all that stuff, Dobbins Caden. This is the 745, 7'4", mag heavy fast. So more heavy plus, I would say. Dobbins runs a little light. I actually have a Jigmaster's jig on here, half ounce one. And then I run 20-pound fluorocarbon, sometimes 17. But I think if you're running a 200-size reel and it's sort of a dedicated jig rod, 20 pounds. I know people are like, oh, you can't throw 20 on the river. Yeah, you can. I catch idiots line all the time. It's like 200-pound braid.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's some 40-pound flads in that river. I get it. But you're not finding them. Not with that. Yeah. That's shark braid. So 20 pounds is fine. If that scares you or was intimidating for some reason, use 17. But as always, when you're fishing a jig, check your knots, check your line.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So for the people out there who, because like you said, jig fishing on the river really isn't a super common thing to do. A lot of guys are thinking like the same thing as I know people who won't throw a Senko in the river because they're like, smallmouth won't eat a Senko or a wacky rig. I'm one of those guys. I won't throw a wacky rig because I've never seen smallmouth eat one. I know it happens.
It happens. First 20 I ever caught was on a wacky.
Exactly. I just can't.
Boring.
I agree. But for some reason, I just can't bring myself to do it. But for the people out there, because, I mean, that last jig you had was, I'm guessing, was what, a half ounce or 3/8 Jigmaster?
That was a half ounce.
So a half ounce, and then you had, from looking out, I didn't get a good look at your plastic, but it looked almost like maybe a Stoker crawl, the full size, maybe cut down a little bit or something.
That's the Rage Bug, I think.
Okay, so like a full-size Rage Bug, it's not a small piece of plastic, even if you cut it down. It's super big body. So basically what I'm getting at is how would you tell someone, hey, you don't always have to throw a finesse jig. You can throw a full-size jig, because people think smallmouth rivers, small baits. It's what they think automatically. I know. I mean, I've thrown full size baits, never had an issue with it. But how do you explain to people if they were asking you, hey, what jig should I throw? And you say, oh, yeah, throw a half ounce Jigmaster and a Rage Crawler, Stroker Crawler, just cut down just a little bit. They're like, well, that's huge. What do you say?
You're listening to the Waypoint Podcast Network, brought to you in part by HuntStand, the number one hunting and land management app.
Say, yeah, but, you know, catching Jimmies all day gets boring. I mean, that gets old. Like, I love having good numbers days like anybody else does. Sometimes you need them. Sometimes you need those days where you just turn and swing on them. I get it. But if you fish tournaments or you just want to upsize your bite, I mean, I think that's the biggest reason. It's the same reason why you throw a glide bait on the river or a rat or a 7-inch fluke. Those are the same reasons. You're looking to upsize your bite. I feel like there are days where I am going to get the same number of bites with one of these little finesse football jigs that I will with a Ned rig. I also think in that same time, I'm going to get a bigger bite occasionally. It's not every time, because at the same time, you got to know where you're fishing and put a bait by a fish. Because what we're really talking about with these finesse football jigs a lot of time is clearer water situations, especially on a river. Now,
yeah.
If it is muddy and there's a ton of current, I also throw a jig. It's typically going to be a half ounce jig. And it's going to be black
or black. Throw it up in the freaking cover as tight as you can.
Everything. Yep. And tumble it even down riffles or off the side of them, right on the eddy. Same thing. But I think too, sometimes it's good to throw a big jig trailer on. Sometimes you want to trim everything up a little bit, just make it a touch more finessey. But I also go by the rule of thumb is if a rock bass will eat a half ounce jig, so will a smallmouth. If a 4-inch bluegill will hit a 110 whopper plopper, so will a smallmouth.
Yeah.
It's why I don't throw the regular Rico and I throw the Rio Rico because it's a quarter ounce bigger. I hope that means it's a half ounce or half inch bigger fish. They don't know they're eating. It's a prey response. When you're running one of these little finesse footballs on the bottom with, let's say, a waving crawl trailer, one that puts up a ton of action, well, that's what you want. You want them to see it from 10, 12 feet out because it is clear water and come rushing. Now, and when you start fishing shallow water, like I've been fishing a lot this year because I have to, you start seeing those fish wake in 10 inches of water towards one of those baits. It is awesome. Yeah. I caught a 19 on the backside of a dam, and this fish, like, I think watched it go by and waited and then just went berserk, you know, straight shark mode towards a seal, like at my feet, crushed it. Cause I was on my kayak, but I went to this island and whatever. And I mean, one of those hook sets where, you know, you have 8 feet of line off the tip of your rod and it rushed in clear water straight at me. Didn't care. Killed that damn thing.
That's awesome.
But you're looking for a visual bite. Now, as the water cools down, I'll have that smallie beaver on, that TRD bugs, something with a little less action, but still, you know, when you're pulling it, there's something. And then you pause it give it a pause and shake it if you want. But unless they're rushing it when you see it, like, this isn't like an explosive bite. Sometimes they crush a jig. It's just what they do. But a lot of times, like that 21 I caught, it was like a boop. And that's what it was. So they just produce, and especially now with clear water, and as we go into wintertime, you find those wintering holes,
yep, and
pull this thing along. If they're going to eat, one of them is going to get it. And, you know, you might catch your biggest fish in the wintertime.
Definitely catch bigger fish in the winter. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just your bite, your quantity goes down. But I think you said it best when you said if a rock bass will eat a half inch jig and a bluegill eat a 110. That's what I tell people. I've been throwing, like, I'll show people the finesse jig from Jig Masters, and it's a big jig with a little bit less skirt, but still a bigger jig. And I'll throw a full size crawl and I won't cut it down at all. And I've had 10 inch fish destroy that. And then I've had 19s destroy that. So I tell people the same thing. Smallmouth, it's a prey. Like you said, it's a prey response. It doesn't necessarily matter. Like, obviously if you're throwing bigger glide baits and stuff, your smaller fish might not go after it all the time, but I've thrown big glide baits and
they'll follow it.
They'll follow it all day long. And I've had little ones hit it. I mean, I caught a rock bass on a glide bait this year.
Yeah, I believe that.
Like, it just smacked it, and it could barely get the treble in its mouth, but it tried to do it. It gave its best attempt.
Yeah.
So don't be, for everyone out there, don't be afraid to throw a full size jig in the river. It will get bit. It'll get bit by the small ones, and you have a much better chance of upscaling your bite to getting a fish that you want to take a picture with, and you're not catching 4,000 jimmies a day.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly it. What I've learned, on the river is to try to throw, you know, a little bit larger bait, because I do think it gives you some upsides. Obviously, water, what's going on with the water, your weather conditions, all that plays a factor. Like I said, I've been leaning on this technique a lot lately because I have not had a moving bite in so long that outside of I won a work derby, like a lunchtime derby a couple weeks ago, and I'm throwing like a chatterbait and a tube, but not on the river. Like, I've been in like a crazy drought. I know we talked about swim baits this summer. Been on a crazy drought on the river with those things. They've, in my world over here, they've been on the bottom for a while. It cooled off a little bit at the beginning of October, then it shot back up, and it's like this teeter-totter of doom in this
window
where they don't know what to do. They're like,
it's been like that all year, man.
you can keep eating? Should we not be? I mean, or should we go deep? Should we be upset? They just don't know what's going on. It's supposed to cool off again this weekend, and I'm hoping that sort of picks things up and we get, you know, a couple more weeks of something good before their full-time winter. But yeah, it's been a weird weather-wise fall. I've capitalized, which is cool, but it's been a little bit tough, and it's been kind of finding and tuning a new thing or a newer thing. And I would just highly recommend, if you got some clear water, throw a finesse football jig around. It's nothing special. Just make sure you're on the bottom. You don't have to dredge it, but make sure you're making contact and you're hitting stuff. And then dial in your trailer. It doesn't have to be crazy. You need like two different.
Dude, Matt, drop zone tackle should make a finesse jig.
Dude, that would be so sick. That would be dope.
It's a fun technique.
Yeah, that's maybe I'm gonna message him. I'm just asking. Hey, figure it out. Dude,
that was a good podcast. That, like, I haven't looked at his website yet because when I was finishing that one up, and I meant to, I was busy. But I enjoyed that one. That guy had some cool stuff in the work.
Dude,
yeah.
Matt gave me a few of them. Those things are pretty sweet.
Everything he was talking about sounded awesome.
Yeah.
I'm pumped. I'm actually have one tied on and I'm going to throw this weekend just to see on it. It's a Tokyo rig, a little bit lighter, but I'm going to throw it just to see, because I feel like, honestly, when everyone else was throwing jigs, they were having to throw bitsy bugs or something super small. And I was throwing that finesse jig, but that little Guggen rattler, the chunk, rattling chunk, I think that's what produced a lot of my bites. It wasn't necessarily a jig, but it just had, it was something different to where it had that little bit of rattle. Cause just like the drop zone stuff, it's not overpowering. Like, you shake it and it sounds like a Vision 110. Yeah. It's subtle. It's there. It'll add some vibration. And I think that's what got my bites. Cause I mean, there were some jig bites I was throwing. I was just casting parallel with the bank from the boat and just bringing it back and dragging it, sitting it, and then popping it, dragging it, sitting it, just in random water. I wasn't keying in on anything. Wasn't looking at rocks. I was just casting it. Cause I was trying to find a fish. And I watched one time, it was 10 inches of water on the bank and it went down to like 3 foot. And I watched a little wake go flying to it.
Awesome.
The water was murky. Like, it was muddy water. So there's no way, in my opinion, now I'm not a smallmouth bass. No one is. So I don't really know what their eyesight is. I'm sure it's great, but it was muddy to where I might've had 3 or 4 inches of visibility. But it keyed on something. And I think it was that sound, and it saw it and it said food and went right to it and smashed it.
I bet you're right, man. That's another thing too about these tungsten jigs is they don't sound like it's more of a distinct sound in the water because they're a different density than lead jig. So they do put off more sound and vibration in the water. That'd be the other reason that I do like the tungsten jigs. I meant to say that. I do think you get a little bit more acoustics from that jig. Yeah. That makes sense. But I bet your rattle and chunk theory is dead on. It sounds right.
I'm just saying it makes sense to me. So I'm going to say that's fact because I understand it and I think it's right. So, but Nick, been a great show. Brad, do you have anything to close us with?
No, man, not at all.
Nick, you got anything you want to shout your socials out and any other companies?
Oh, sure. FCK, that's Dadlicious on the Instagrams.
What does FCK stand for?
Well, that's a different conversation, Bradley.
That's the coolest name ever.
Oh yeah, no, you did well.
Yeah, so if you guys want to check that out, I don't have any sponsors or anything. I'm out here in the lonesome. But I have some cast to catch videos up there. I also have FCK, that's Dadlicious. It's on YouTube. Over longer, there's no like produced video. It's some catch to catches, stuff like that. I'm not pursuing that. So if you want to go check those out, if you have any questions, let me know. I try to talk to real people, which I just mean you're not a bot on Instagram. Also, by the way, Brad, dude, do you know how much hate I have gotten from that damn rock stack I knocked over with my paddle?
So I get every notification for that video, and I read all three of them. I just laugh. I'm like,
dude, oh, geez. It's incredible.
It's you still get comments on it?
It's calmed down this week, but I was on like a 3-week tear. Like I went like the comments went on a tear. I was like, I'm not gonna respond to this stuff. And then yeah. I was like, what are you doing? These people are morons. And so yeah, I had to spit back a little bit here and there, but like that's well over 100,000 views now. And yeah, like, awesome. I didn't even see the rocks falling in the water because I was going by it. So, rock stackers, if you're listening still, you better know the next pile I find. Oh my goddamn! There's going to be production.
I'm saying it's art.
It's so art. So yeah, art.
It's not art. I look for them now, especially in you like rock, like if I'm going by, I will just stare. And if I see one, I'm just like, oh, that's where I'm eating lunch today. And I'll go over there and I'll stare at it and I'll think somebody took the time to do this. And I will just kick it over and walk away and not care.
Oh, it's going to be a filmed production. And I'm going to run my mouth so hard while I do it. So rock stackers, rock care, hashtag whatever. I'm coming for you.
Matt, we don't have very many of those stacked rocks on the GMR, but I guarantee you there's a ton of them on the Little Miami.
Ooh,
yeah, there's a ton of them in the Little Miami. The GMR doesn't have them because we have needles and crack.
Well, it's deeper water too, and it's kind of harder to get those rocks out.
I got rogue
also
in the banks.
If you go, I'm about to say, yeah, a GMR is deeper water, harder to get to, and also you could get stabbed. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't go there. The Little Miami, Brad, you're 100% right. I guarantee you every quarter mile there's a stack of rocks. Because of
hippies
who live over there. Yeah, the hippies are all just, let's stack the rocks for nature. No, you're stupid.
Just so don't do that. Knocked over.
Oh, geez.
It's a shallow watermark. Man, no, it's not.
No, it's not. If it was a no, that's so stupid. Oh, my God.
Brad, you've been through that area. There's
use the USGS map, man, for a freaking marker.
Well, pay attention. Even better.
Yeah. Yeah, or you're in a kayak, so just hit it and then get out and walk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I could go that dumb stack I knocked over. There was other stuff around, but there was a tournament happening. That was, like, my best option to do that. I liked to get on it real hard. A couple others that were right there, and it was like, yeah, there's somebody fishing. I'm gonna respect this person. But, yeah. Anyway, that's kind of a weird way to end this, but
that's funny.
Suck at rock stackers, but I've got nothing else. oh man. All right. Well, if you have a problem with what we just said, make sure to message Nick on Instagram. Give him a follow though, so it's not all for naught, so we can deal with your stupidity. But everybody, and
if it offended you, we don't care. Stop listening.
Yeah, I'd be all right.
Oh man. Oh,
later guys.
Oh Lord. All right. I'm about to say there's everybody out there. We didn't really cover it at the beginning. I want to cover it real quick before we stop. We're brought to you by Dark Horse Tackle. Some of the best baits American made that you've never heard of come in the box here in the next week or the week after. We're going to do a review for this month's box. And I can tell you my champ box is a heater. But we're also sponsored by Nico Baits, the best, in my opinion, Brad likes them too, but the best super plastic baits that you can get on the market. Keep an ear out. Once we get closer to the end of November and December, we're going to be doing a giveaway. Nico wants to do a giveaway on the show. So we'll have some more information coming from that, but Nico Baits, check them out. You're not going to be upset. You got anything, Brad?
See you later.
Bye everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in. Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star.
Join Captain Justin Leake and Meredith McCord for the best fishing action along Panama City Beach. Tune in to Chasing the Sun every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
Oh, that's awesome!
Don't don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.